This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Our program tonight is about the power and the excellence of voluntary prayers in Islam. Voluntary prayers are called Sunnah prayers. They are called Nawafil in Arabic. And Nafila is something extra that you do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So aside from the five daily prayers that a Muslim, every Muslim must perform on a daily basis, we have these nawafil, sunnah prayers that are prescribed, they are part of our prayers, and they were prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And neglecting them does not expose the Muslim to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some scholars who said if someone insists on neglecting these nawafil and voluntary prayers, he will be blamed on the Day of Judgment. Some ulama, they said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will blame him and tell him on the Day of Judgment, why did you leave my sunnah? But to the best of my knowledge, this is not something confirmed. If I confirm it, I'll share it with you. But so far, to the best of my knowledge, this is not something confirmed. Allahu alam. Because we know from a famous hadith in which an Arabi, a Bedouin, came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this hadith is always used by the ulama to say any other prayer beside the five daily prayers is not mandatory, is not an obligation. In this hadith, this Arabi, this Bedouin, asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the arkan of Islam, the pillars of Islam. When it came to Salat, he told him about the five daily prayers, five prayers every day and night. So this Arabi, this Bedouin, he said, I will do exactly what you said. I'm not going to add anything, but I'm not going to delete from them. So I will do exactly what you said, five daily prayers. And after he left, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْلَحَ إِنْ صَدَقَ. Yani he will be successful if he's saying the truth. If he's saying the truth, if he will do exactly the five daily prayers, then on the Day of Judgment he will be successful. So all the ulama use this, they always use this dalil to say that all the other voluntary prayers and not mandatory. They are not mandatory. But some of them are highly recommended. Some of them are regular sunnah prayers. We will know, inshallah, the details. Inshallah, the details of all the sunnah prayer in the next halaqat. Yani this one and the next one and maybe another one. For 3 weeks, we'll talk in detail about all the voluntary prayers and their status in the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now, they are optional, but we can confirm something. Because I will share some amazing ahadith today with you about the benefits and the excellence of these voluntary prayers. So there is no doubt the one who neglects them will miss great rewards. Huh, young people? There are some young people who say, okay, they tell their parents, be happy that I am at least praying the 5 daily prayers. You don't want to do the voluntary prayers, right? And there are some adults, yes, who don't do them, and they said, the excuse, we're busy, we're kada, we're mother, they say, I'm busy with my children, I'm cooking for the family, doing this and that. People have their own excuses, right? We're not going to blame them because they are not blamed in Sharia for not doing them. But I would like to confirm tonight that the one who neglects them will be missing great rewards. This is number one. And they will also miss the opportunity for their obligatory prayers to be rectified on the Day of Judgment. To be rectified. And we have a famous hadith about it that I will share it with you today. And this person might also miss the opportunity of being one of those who could be described as close friends of Allah, al-awliya. There is a famous hadith about al-awliya, al-wilaya, how to have this status. How do you build this strong and beautiful relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be among those who are called al-awliya in Arabic? I guess the best translation will be close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll share a hadith about this with you tonight. And also this person might miss the opportunity to compete with the rest of Muslims about high ranks in Jannah. And there is an amazing hadith about it. And I want you to pay attention to it, about those who have the dwellers of lofty mansions in Jannah, those who have high ranking in Jannah. And how do you achieve this status? So, and the person might also miss, calmness and serenity and tuma'nina in this life. Because when you get engaged with voluntary prayers, you're basically doing what? You're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is one form of remembrance. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يقول أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Isn't it that with the remembrance of Allah, that hearts are assured? So, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq. Now I try to provide a proof for all this statement. I mentioned a couple of statements here. But everything is based on a proof from the sunnah of our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, when it comes to rectifying the conditions of our obligatory prayers, we have this famous hadith, and that was collected by all Ashab al-Sunan, the 4 Imams who wrote the Sunan, Imam Ahmad, and maybe some other scholars. But I know at least 5 ulama who collected this hadith, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, and Imam Ahmad. In this hadith, al-Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam yaqul, and this is also about the excellence of the prayer in general. He said, أول ما يحاسب, إن أول ما يحاسب عليه العبد يوم القيامة صلاته فإن صلحت فقد أفلح ونجح وإن فسدت خاب وخسر وإن فسدت خاب وخسر. هذه على الصلاة. أول شيء يحاسب عليه الإنسان يوم القيامة الصلاة. ثم قال فإن تقص من فريضته شيء قال الرب عز وجل. إذن هذا الجزء من الحديث حديث قدسي. انظروا هل لعبدي من تطوع فيكمل بها من تقص من الفريضة ثم يكون سائر عمله على ذلك. This hadith is صحيح. He said the first actions or deeds which the servant will be held accountable for on the Day of Judgment will be his prayer. This is when it comes to ibadat. When we talk about ibadat, acts of worship, the first thing that the person will be taken to account for on the Day of Judgment is his salah. When it comes to other issues, like violations and crimes and everything then the first thing would be, you know, blood, killing someone, killing an innocent soul. That will be the first problem to be dealt with. But when it comes to ibadat, the first thing is salah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in this hadith, if they are found to be sound, yani his salat is good, mashallah, this man was trying his best to perform his salat in the best way, then he will be safe and successful. This person will be safe and successful. And his account for the other things will be easy. After the salat was found, mashallah, beautiful, he beautifully performed his salah, then everything will be easy after that. Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, he will be safe and successful. But if they are incomplete, his salat was incomplete, then this person will be unfortunate, and a loser. But there is good news here about those who do the voluntary prayers. So he said, however, if any shortcomings are found in the obligatory prayers, then the Lord will say, the Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here this is a proof that this part of the hadith is a Qudsi hadith. Because the next statement will be made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a Qudsi hadith. So they came to this person, his salat was incomplete, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a statement. He will give an instruction to the malaika. He will tell them, see if my servant has any voluntary prayers with which the defect or the deficiencies of his obligatory prayer are rectified. So your voluntary prayers will be used yawm al-qiyamah to rectify and fix and remedy your obligatory prayers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, complete his obligatory prayers with his voluntary prayers. And the rest of the deeds will be treated in the same way. Your fasting will be treated in the same way. That means if you had some issues and problems with your fasting during Ramadan, which is an obligation, then the malaika will look at your voluntary fast to rectify, you know, your fasting in Ramadan. If you had some issues with your fasting in Ramadan. And the same thing with zakat. If you had some issues, some shortcomings regarding the obligation of paying the zakat, then the malaika, by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will look at your sadaqah, your regular charities, and try to rectify your voluntary obligations. Now, what is the nature of this rectification or remedy, or how does it work? There are two opinions. The first opinion, it's the opinion of a small group of scholars. They said the only things which will be rectified on the Day of Judgment are shortcomings within the prayer, within the obligatory prayer, like any distraction, lack of khushu', not praying on time, doing the prayer but not on time. So these are shortcomings within the prayer. So these are the obligatory prayers which were missed will not be rectified. And that is the opinion of a small group of Muslim scholars. The majority, they have a different opinion. Majority of Muslim scholars, they have a different opinion. They said all deficiencies, all shortcomings in the obligatory prayers will be rectified with the voluntary prayers. And I adopt this opinion, the second one. Why? Because the hadith is a general statement. The hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ said in the hadith, فَإِنْ انْتَقَسَ مِنْ فَرِيضَتِهِ شَيْءٌ. He said, if any shortcomings are found in the obligatory prayers, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say this and this and this and this. So Rasulullah ﷺ did not say, if any shortcomings within his obligatory prayers are found, then it will be rectified, they will be rectified with his voluntary prayers. He said, any shortcomings, which is a general statement, and this will include, should include, the obligatory prayers that were missed. So if someone missed some obligatory prayers when he was young, and he's not able to, it is safer, it is better to make them up. Now, right, if you have extra time, if you have time, and we have time actually if we want to, if we want to make the time for them. But if someone is extremely busy, is not able to make up those prayers, then inshallah, we hope that the volunteer prayers, his volunteer prayers will be used on the Day of Judgment. His sunnah prayers, his nawafil will be used on the Day of Judgment to rectify and fix the obligatory prayers or any shortcomings in his obligatory prayers. So now you know the importance and this is only one proof. Now the second proof here that I have tonight about the obligation of this, the importance and the excellence of these voluntary prayers. There was a tabi'i, his name is Ma'dan ibn Abi Talha, al-Ya'muri, al-Kinani. He was from the area of Sham. Great tabi'i. Used to, learn from the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So he came to Thawban. He said, لَقِيْتُ ثَوْبَان مَوْلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقُلْتُ أَخْبِرْنِي بِعَمَلٍ أَعْمَلُهُ يُدْخِلُنِي اللَّهُ بِهِ الْجَنَّةِ. So he came to Thawban, who was the Sahabi, the friend, the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told him, tell me about a deed. If I do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I perform, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow me to go to Jannah because of this deed, right? And Thawban kept quiet. He asked him three times, he kept quiet. I don't know why, the reason why Thawban kept quiet for three times. Maybe he was thinking, What could be the best deed? Wanted to help him with some information. This is a tabi'i. So he said, Thawban, سَأَلْتُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, I asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, same question about this. قَالَ فَقَالَ Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, عَلَيْكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَسْجُدُ لِلَّهِ سَجْدَةً إِلَّا رَفَعَكَ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَةً وَحَطَّ عَنْكَ بِهَا خَطِيئَةً. Hadith في صحيح مسلم. Hadith هذا في صحيح مسلم. So this tabi'i, Ma'dan ibn Abi Talha, he came, as I said, to Thawban, and he asked him about, tell me about a good deed. Something that I can do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow me, give me Jannah as a reward for these deeds. So he, Thawban, told him, I asked Rasulullah ﷺ about the same thing. And he said, prostrate much. This is what Rasulullah ﷺ told him. عَلَيْكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. Prostrate much to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for you did not prostrate to Allah one time, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would raise, look at this hadith, will raise your rank one degree with it. So for every sajda, when you pray two rak'ahs, how many sajdas you do? Four. And then Rasulullah ﷺ told Thawban, for every sajda, Allah will raise your rank one degree with it, and will erase one sin for you. So you are raised one degree in Jannah, not in this dunya, in Jannah. And we need to combine this with another hadith, I'll tell you about it. So your rank will be raised one degree in Jannah, and one of your sins will be erased for every sajda. And of course, all the ulama understood from this hadith that Rasulullah ﷺ is not talking about an isolated sajda that we do for no reason. This is not sunnah. Rasulullah ﷺ did not do it. The Sahaba did not do it. All the ulama understood from this hadith and similar ahadith that Rasulullah ﷺ is talking about nawafil, about voluntary prayers, about sujood during salah, making sujood, prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during salah. There are some people who understood differently. They have a different understanding that it's okay for you to do a single sajda without any reason. Sajda, if you do a single sajda by itself, it has to be justified. Either it is a prostration for recitation, sujood al-tilawa, or prostration for gratitude, prostration of gratitude, yani sujood al-shukr. You hear some good news, your son graduated, or you got some money, or anything. Good news about someone, a family member who left the hospital. You can make sujood al-shukr. Prostration of gratitude. you make sujood, extra sujood after the salat of forgetfulness, sujood sahu, right? But there is no sujood by itself. Because I saw people, after they finish the salah, they say salam alaikum, and then they do sujood, sajda, they perform one sajda. It's not sujood sahu, just sajda, another sajda, an extra sajda for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not part of the sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about sujood during the salah, or within the salah. Now what happens when you achieve high ranking in Jannah? I want you to pay attention to this hadith. I want you to really pay attention to this hadith. This hadith is amazing. In this hadith, Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu rawa hadha al-hadith. Qala inna ahla al-jannah yatara'awna ahla al-ghuraf fawqahum kama tatara'awna al-kawkab al-durri al-ghabir fi al-ufuq min al-mashriqi aw al-maghrib litafadhuli ma baynahum. Qalu ya Rasulullah, تلك منازل الأنبياء لا يبلغها غيرهم. قال لا والله لا والذي نفسي بيده رجال أو قوم آمنوا بالله وصدقوا المرسلين. رجال آمنوا بالله, والنساء يدخلن أيضا في هذه العبارة, لأن كل ما ذكر الرجال في ثواب الآخرة النساء يدخلن مباشرة في هذه العبارة. رجال آمنوا بالله وَصَدَّقُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ, يعني ليسوا أنبياء. This hadith is amazing, يا إخوان. What happens to you? What do you get when your rank is raised in Jannah? This is Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is, by the way, one of the easy ways to raise your rank in Jannah. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people of paradise, not the people of Jahannam, the people of paradise will look at the dwellers of the lofty mansions in Jannah above them. Will look. The people in paradise in Jannah will look at the dwellers of the lofty mansions above them. He said the way, in the same way as one looks at a brilliant star. He used the word kawkab. Kawkab is sometimes translated as star, sometimes translated as planet. But he said shiny or brilliant. So we don't know, he meant star or a planet, but usually people will live on planets. That's a different story here. But he didn't say that these people will be in different planets, but this is a possibility. I'll tell you about it. It's a possibility. I cannot confirm it. But he's comparing the distance between those who are in the lofty mansions and those who are in Jannah. The people of Jannah will be looking at these people living in lofty mansions the same way we look in this life at a brilliant star in the west or the east on the horizon. On the horizon. Imagine yourself now, you go outside and you look at a star in the sky. What could be the distance between you and this star? What could be the distance? Thousands of miles? That's a possibility, right? This is what NASA is doing, is saying these days, right? When they talk about the locations of these stars and the locations of these planets. And we have planets in the solar system, we have exoplanets, and so on and so forth. So, and Rasulullah continued. He said, all that is because of their superiority over one another. So people will be in different levels, and these levels are beyond our imagination. This difference between different levels is beyond our imagination. And then the Sahaba here asking this question, because when they heard this statement, they thought about something. That these places, lofty mansions, must be the dwelling places of what? Of prophets and messengers. So they ask him, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, are these lofty mansions for prophets and messengers which no one else can reach? That was the understanding of the Sahaba. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, no. He confirmed that this place is not for prophets and messengers, but in a very interesting way. He said, no, by Allah in whose hand is my soul. There are people who believed in Allah and His messengers, like you and me. Allahu Akbar. So this, everyone is invited to raise towards Jannah. This invitation is open for everyone. It's a race, ya ikhwan. And for every sajda, remember, for every sajda, your ranking, you are raised 1 degree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise your ranking 1 degree and will erase one of your sins. And it's up to you. My goal in this halaqah is to help you to love voluntary prayers and to change your perspective about voluntary prayers, especially young people. So this hadith, I made a comment about it, but I'm not sure about it. That Jannah could be located in different planets and different, Allahu A'lam. No one has said anything, so I'm not going to confirm it. I would respect my limitations. I cannot confirm it. But there is a hint in the hadith that people on the Day of Judgment could be living in different planets. And think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created billions of galaxies and planets, maybe for a reason, Allahu A'lam. I cannot confirm it, but there is a hint in this hadith. But the what is confirmed in this hadith, that there will be on the Day of Judgment different levels, and there are some people who will be living in lofty mansions, and people will be looking at them without, by the way, without any grudges, without any negative feelings. There is no negative feelings in Jannah, no grudges in Jannah. No pain in Jannah. And there is no regret. I searched this matter. Is there any regret in Jannah? Yes, there is a hadith, famous hadith. لا يتحصر أهل الجنة لا يتحصرون إلا على ساعة إلا على ساعة مضت لم يذكروا الله فيها. So the hadith means that the people of Jannah will have no regrets except for an hour which passed by in which they would not They did not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this hadith is not confirmed. Some ulama, they said it could be hasan. Some ulama said, no, it is da'if. So this hadith is controversial. That's why many ulama believe that there is no regret in Jannah. There is no regret. Right? If there is any regret, it will be before, when people are taken to account, before they enter Jannah. When people are taken to account, and their deeds are presented to them, then that they will feel the pain at that moment. But after they go to Jannah, so these people, yes, they recognize that there is a huge difference between them, people of Jannah, between them and those who live in these lofty mansions, but without hasad, without jealousy, without envy, without any grudges, without any negative feelings. Because they will be happy too. The rest of the people will be happy in Jannah, right? But they will be able to recognize the difference between themselves, their status, their ranking, and the ranking of those people who were racing towards Jannah with nawafil and with good deeds. The third proof about the excellence of voluntary prayers, there is a story that took place after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this story is amazing. This is a beautiful hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that he left the city of Mecca and he went to Medina. And everyone knows the way he left Mecca. He was not like, people didn't give him a party in the city of Mecca. They were not friendly to him. They were trying to kill him, right? They sent people after him. They told them if anyone was able to catch Muhammad, and we say sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our prophet, if anyone is able to bring him dead or alive, we'll give him 100 camels as a reward. So people were going into different directions looking for our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his companion. Left the city of Mecca. Before he left, they were trying to what? You know that they were trying to kill him, to assassinate him. They had a plot. And they came and they surrounded his house. But luckily, alhamdulillah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got the news from Jibreel that they were trying to kill him, so he left his house. And he left Ali radiallahu anhu in his bed, and he knew that nothing will happen to Ali. I don't want you to think anything. Don't entertain any negative thought about this. He knew, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that nothing will happen to Ali, and Ali ibn Abi Talib will be safe. But anyway, these are the conditions in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left the city of Mecca. He was running, fleeing the city. And these people they killed some of his companions, they were persecuting his companions, they did not accept his message, they were saying he's a liar, he is a majnoon, crazy, he was this and this and this and this. Right? Now he reached the city of Medina. Abdullah ibn Salam, who was a Jewish scholar at that time, he was a Jew before he, radiallahu anhu, before he accepted Islam. He said, I decided to go and look at the face of this man, try to get more information about him. This man claimed that he's a prophet, that he's a messenger of God. And these people, they are the Jews, they got some knowledge about prophets and messengers. You know, they're familiar with the Torah and the Injil, and they have their own stories. And he was a scholar among his people, so he wanted to know, who is this man? And he said, I want to meet him. And I looked at his face. I recognized immediately that this is not the face of a liar. But this is not the proof that I am trying to talk here, to use here. He said, the first thing when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the city of Medina, Rasulullah made a statement. And this statement is very beautiful. And I believe that this is a miracle. Because if anyone else was in his shoes, if I was in his place, I wouldn't be speaking this language. I would be talking about my enemies. Now I reach the city of Medina. I'm planning to build maybe an army, to build a state. We're powerful now. Should take revenge and do this and that and that and deal with them. We're going to show them. This is the language of someone who is in these conditions, right? They were trying to kill him. If he speaks this language, you give him the benefit of doubt. You say, okay, I mean, he has the right to speak this way because they were about to kill him. You know what he said? What Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? The statement that he made. Ya ayyuha an-nas, afshu as-salam, wa at'imu at-ta'am, wa silu al-arham, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٌ. This hadith, we need to spend some time with it. He said, O people, afshu salam, extend the greetings of peace, the greetings of salam. They were trying to kill him. He's talking about peace. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ, feed people, give food to people. وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ, and keep the ties of kinship. And pray at night. And this part is related to our subject tonight. And pray at night while people are asleep, you will enter Jannah in peace. And we need to understand, what does it mean to enter Jannah in peace? Ya ikhwan, this hadith is amazing. Wallahi, whenever I think about it, I'm just saying, La ilaha illallah. And this man was Rasulullah haqqan. He was true messenger of God. Because if he was someone else, he would be behaving in a different way. He's talking about peace, about feeding the poor and the needy. He's talking about the keeping the ties of kinship. Yeah, his mind is in a different... He's thinking about other things. He's not thinking about his enemies who are trying to kill him. Because he was a true messenger of God. He was a teacher. He knew his mission very well. He knew his mission. He was sent as a teacher to teach humanity. Right? What a beautiful message. But what is related to our halaqah tonight is the part in which he said, "Sallu bil-layli wa nasu niyam." Pray at night while people are asleep. So this is, he's talking about voluntary prayers, extra prayers at night. And he said, you will enter Jannah in peace. So he talked about the greeting of peace, and we need to know, offering salam. Offering salam is not wajib, it's recommended. Returning salam is wajib. You need to know that. And ya ikhwan, please, there is a phenomenon in our communities. I don't know, I have no explanation for this phenomenon. A problem, I would call it a problem. That two people will be standing up together, talking to each other, two people. One of the brothers would come because he knows the first one, he doesn't know the second one. He would shake hands with the first one and ignore completely, completely ignore the second one and leaves. To me, this is a big problem. You have a Muslim here standing up, talking to the other brother, you come and you shake hands with one of the brothers and you ignore the second one because you don't know him. I have seen it many times in this community and other communities. وَهَذِهِ مِنْ عَلَامَاتِ السَّاعَةِ السَّلَامُ بِالْمَعْرِفَةِ. One of the signs, minor signs of the Day of Judgment is that people will offer salam based on ma'rifah, relationship. If you don't have a relationship with him, he doesn't offer salam to you. If you don't know the person, you don't say salam to them. So Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, afshu. You know afshu, what does afshu? Extend, spread the greetings of salam. This is the first instruction or guidance, piece of guidance. And then he said, feed people. And the ulama, they said, feeding people here include honoring your guest, giving food to your guest, number one. Giving food as a gift to other people, gift, and feeding the poor and the needy. Three ways of feeding people. Honoring your guests by giving them food, giving food as a gift to your neighbor or friend or someone else, and also feeding the poor and the needy. This is number two. And then he said, keep the ties of kinship. And we know Salat al-Rahim is a big subject in our deen. And I think the lowest level of keeping the ties of kinship is that you purify your hearts, I purify my hearts from any hard feelings towards my family members. Nothing in my heart against my family members. This is the lowest, maybe, the minimum requirement, the lowest level of keeping the ties of kinship, Silat al-Rahim. And then he said, pray at night while people are asleep, you will enter paradise in peace. What does it mean in peace? This is very important. تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. So alim, one of the ulama, he said, it means you will not enter Jahannam before you go into paradise. And you will not be taken to account extensively. Now Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, مَنْ نُوقِشَ الْحِسَابِ مَنْ نُوقِشَ الْحِسَابِ عُذِّبْ. Hadith Sahih Bukhari. If anyone is interrogated while being taken to account, he will be punished. If someone is taken to a large extent, extensively, that means the malaika will look at every deed and they will ask him about every sin, this person definitely he will be punished. مَنْ نُوقِشَ الْحِسَابِ عُذِّبْ. So we can conclude from this ahadith that the people of Jannah are three types. There are three groups. The first group, they enter Jannah without hisab, without being taken to account. اللهم اجعلنا منهم يا رب. Going to Jannah without any question. First group. Right? And they are not 70,000, they are more than 70,000. Because there is a hadith that says they are 70,000, but there is another hadith that this 70,000 will make shafa'a to a bigger number of Muslims, and they will go with them. Big number. Inshallah, Ya Rab. So this is the first group. The second group who will enter Jannah after being taken to account in an easy way. حِسَابٌ يَسِيرٌ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. So his account is easy. This is the second group. The third group who will enter Jannah, these people have committed major sins and they were not forgiven for these major sins, but they are Muslims. They will go. Umar, pay attention. Pay attention, Umar. Umar, pay attention. He's not listening. You're talking. I want you to pay attention. The third group of people, third group, will go to Jannah after they go to Jahannam. So their hisab will be extensive. They are taken to account extensively in details, and then they will go to Jahannam, and then they will be forgiven, and they go to Jannah. Three groups. So the first two groups will enter Jannah in peace. These are the ones who will enter Jannah in peace. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. This is the first group of people, the first two groups, sorry. The first two groups of people, those who will enter Jannah without any hisab, and those who will enter Jannah about after being taken to account in an easy way. Hisab yasir. What is hisab yasir? The ulama, they said, is ardul a'mal, presentation of deeds. His deeds will be presented to him. Yeah, no, this day he did this and this and this. Just, he will be reminded. He will be reminded. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, okay, I'll forgive you today. He will not go to Jannah. But his deeds will be presented to him. This is hisab yasir, easy account. But the third group, they will be in trouble. So if you want to be among the first group of people or the second group, you enter Jannah in peace, you do what? Huh? Night salah and voluntary, increase your voluntary prayers. In general, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here mentioned Qiyam al-Layl, but all voluntary prayers should be, inshallah, included. Increase your voluntary prayers. طيب. So that is the hadith, the beautiful hadith when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the city of Medina. The other proofs, there are some other proofs. I have the fourth proof here about the excellence of voluntary prayers. عن عقبة بن عامر رضي الله عنه أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ما منكم من مسلم يتوضأ فيحسن الوضوء. Look at the steps of this you know, prayer here. So you make wudu. يتوضأ فيحسن الوضوء ثم يقوم فيصلي ركعتين يقبل بهما أو عليهما بقلبه ووجهه بقلبه ووجهه إلا وجبت له الجنة. الله أكبر. Just for two rak'ahs. Look at this hadith. This hadith is amazing. Sahih Muslim. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if any Muslim performs ablution well, you follow the sunnah while doing wudu. So you perform wudu in the best way, following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then stand and pray two rak'ahs. Pay attention to this, ikhwan. Two rak'ahs. He didn't say 10, he didn't say 20, he didn't say 30. He said two rak'ahs, concentrating on them with his heart and face. Face, yani, he's not looking around. But then his child is passing in front of him, he's following his child with his eyes, or the cat is going around him, or whatever. So he's not paying attention to anything else. He's looking at the qibla, the place of his sujood, or in the direction of the qibla. But what is difficult is concentrating with his heart. This is kind of difficult, yani, it's very difficult. You can try it. You can try it, but it's not impossible. Make wudu and pray just two rak'ahs. He didn't say dhuhr or asr or kada, just two rak'ahs. But you do it with this attitude, that you concentrate with your heart and face, you don't think about anything else. What did he say? Then Jannah will be guaranteed for him. Jannah will be guaranteed. إِلَّا وَجَبَتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. That means if a person decides to make wudu in the best way, praise two rak'ahs with full concentration, with not thinking, without thinking of anything else. He was fully focused in his salat. He did his salat with his full khushu' and dies after these two rak'ahs. What will happen to him? Jannah is guaranteed. He will be in Jannah. Two rak'ahs only. The fifth proof, ya ikhwan, about the excellence of the voluntary rak'ahs, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مر بقبر فقال من صاحب هذا القبر؟ قالوا فلان. قال ركعتان أحب إلى هذا من بقية دنياكم. وفي رواية ركعتان خفيفتان مما تحقرون وتنفلون يزيدهما هذا صاحب القبر إلى عمله أحب إليه من بقية دنياكم. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in this story, Abu Huraira is telling us about this story, he passed by a grave. And he asked the Sahaba, who was buried in this grave? Who is the companion of this grave? Man صاحب هذا القبر. Who is the companion of this grave? And they said, Fulan, they mentioned a name. The hadith doesn't mention a name. So and so. Muhammad or Ali or Ahmad or someone, a Muslim who passed away. And he was buried in that grave. So Rasulullah, he said, and this is very important, the Ikhwan, he said, two short rak'ahs. Pay attention to the importance and the beauty and the power of voluntary prayers. Two short rak'ahs, which you don't pay to their, you don't pay attention to their excellence. We come here to the masjid, pray tahiyat al-masjid, standing up like this, praying two rak'ahs. You don't feel like you're doing something great, right? He said, Rasulullah, مِمَّا تَحْقِرُونَ. You don't pay attention to their excellence. You do them, but you don't pay attention to their power, to the power of these two rak'ahs that we do. So he said, are more beloved to this man who is in the grave than the rest of your worldly life. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because this man now, عنده يقين, now يقين, certain knowledge, has no doubt about the value of these prayers. He's in the grave now. Now he doesn't think about his bank account, has no value in his sight now. Status in the community, no value. Degree, nothing. Nothing. A name, fame, property. Now this man, he's in the grave, he knows the value of these two rak'ahs. That's why Rasulullah he said, these two rak'ahs, which we don't value, we don't pay attention to their excellence, they are more beloved to this man who is in the grave than the rest of your worldly life. And this hadith is sahih, yani, موجود في صحيح الجامع. And the hadith of al-awliya, there is a beautiful hadith. This hadith is very important because it tells us how to reach this status, to have a close relationship with Allah, to be a wali of Allah, to be described as a close friend. I have some reservation about this translation, close friends of Allah, but I don't have an alternative. If you know an alternative, let me know about it. But this is the description of a wali. Someone who has a very strong relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hadith is in Bukhari, and it is a Qudsi hadith. The message is coming from Allah, a Qudsi hadith. And we learn our priorities from this hadith. So he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَالْ مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, which means, whoever shows enmity to a wali of mine, a close friend of mine, I have declared war against him. Allah will declare war against this person, or against this government, or against this regime, or against this party, or against this militia. Anything. you declare war against the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you might maybe don't see the consequences of your deeds. People don't see the consequences of their deeds. But yumhil wa la yuhmil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give respite, but He does not neglect. He does not neglect. Anyway, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this Qudsi hadith, it's not Quran, man aada li waliyan faqad aadhantuhu bil harb. Then He told us how, what is the best way to achieve this status. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and my servant does not draw near to me with anything that is more beloved to me than the religious duties which I have obligated upon him. So you start with mandatory prayers. You start with mandatory fast. You take care of your zakat before you give sadaqah. You have to organize your priorities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it an obligation upon you and me to pray dhuhr on time, asr on time. I cannot just ignore and neglect my mandatory prayers and at night, mashallah, I stand up and do qiyam al-layl. It doesn't work this way. Because we heard some stories, or questions coming to shuyukh about people who they don't know how to organize their priorities when it comes to ibadah. Someone who neglect his 5 daily prayers, he doesn't do them properly, he goes to work, and he doesn't pray dhuhr on time, he doesn't pray asr on time, comes home, he prays dhuhr and asr and maghrib maybe together, and this is a major problem. And by, at night after Isha, he would do it qiyam al-layl. I mean, it's better for you to take care of dhuhr and asr, pray them on time, and you don't do qiyam al-layl, then you will be in the safe side, inshallah. You'll be like the Arabi, the Bedouin, who came to Rasulullah SAW and he said, I will do exactly what you said. I'm not going to add anything. I'm not going to delete anything. And Rasulullah SAW said he will be successful if he's saying the truth, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Qudsi hadith is telling us, these are your priorities. You wanna have this close relationship with Allah, you start with the mandatory prayers or mandatory acts of worship, including zakat, hajj. Like if someone goes to Umrah for 10 times, every time he would spend 3,000, 4,000, multiplied by 10, that's 30,000 or 40,000. How about hajj? Yani, this is rukn min arkan al-Islam, one of the pillars of Islam. Hajj is more important than Umrah because the ulama disagreed about Umrah whether it is obligatory or not. The right opinion could be obligatory, but at least they had their disagreement about the status of Umrah. But no one disagreed about Hajj, the status of Hajj. Hajj is a faridah, is mandatory, agreed upon. So you take care of your Hajj, right? If you went Umrah one time, then maybe next plan should be for Hajj, right? You save more money, inshallah, to go for Hajj. This is just an idea. I'm just sharing ideas here. But let's talk about Salah. Salah, you take care of your 5 daily prayers. Do them on time. And then, inshallah, you take care of your nawafil. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. Ya salam. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ وَلَئِنْ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. Complete protection. So he said, after he talked about the mandatory prayers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I'm saying Allah because it's Qudsi hadith. And my servant continues. After he took care of his mandatory prayers, continues to draw near to me with nawafil. We're talking about voluntary prayers here. With nawafil and voluntary deeds until I love him. So you continue doing the nawafil. At a certain point, Allah will love you. And then he said, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ. When I love you, what will happen? I will become his hearing with which he hears, and his sight with which he sees, his hands with which he strikes, his leg with which he walks. And if he asks me something, I give it. I give him. And if he asks for my, seeks my protection or refuge, I will surely protect him. This is in Bukhari. This is in Bukhari, Ikhwan. And this is, of course, all the ulama agree that this is a figurative speech. I become his sight with which he sees, his hearing with which he hears. All of them agreed that this is metaphorical. This is not real, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't become your sight with which you see. But it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect your sight, will protect your hearing. You don't hear something haram. You don't see something haram. You try to lower your gaze. You don't do something haram with your hands. You don't do something haram. You don't walk to something haram with your feet. So you become protected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting you, is guiding you. And then if you make dua, if Allah knows that this is good for you, He will give it to you. Otherwise, He will protect you against a musibah, a calamity, or He will save it to you on the day of judgment. And if you seek His protection, He will give it to you. You become a wali of Allah by doing what? Following the right steps, taking care of your mandatory prayers, mandatory acts of worship, and then you increase your nawafil. And there is also another story about those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. If Allah loves you, what will happen to you? There is another story. And this hadith also is found in Bukhari. So the first one in Bukhari, the second one in Sahih al-Bukhari too. So Rasulullah told us, عن أبي هريرة, إذا أحب الله العبد نادى جبريل أن الله يحب فلانا فأحببه. Allah will give a command to Jibreel to love so and so. So Rasulullah said, when Allah loves someone, He will call upon Jibreel. I love so and so, so love him. Jibreel will love him, will love this person. And then Rasulullah said, فَيُحِبُّهُ جِبْرِيلُ فَيُنَادِي جِبْرِيلُ فِي أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ. Jibreel will call out the people of the heavens. Who are the people of the heavens? Malaika, angels. And he will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so and so, so love him. So the malaika in the heavens will love this person. And then, ثُمَّ يُجْعَلُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then acceptance is placed on earth for him. The believers will feel comfortable with this person. Believers will listen to this person. He will have a better relationship with the rest of the believers. It doesn't mean that on earth, doesn't mean that everyone will love him, because the people of kufr will not love this person. Obviously, the kuffar will not love him. He's following a sirat al-mustaqim. The munafiqeen, the hypocrites, will not love him. But the people of faith, the people of iman will love him, will respect him. He will have a better relationship with the rest of the believers. And the angels will love him. And Jibreel, the chief of all the angels, will love him. And before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love him. This is in Sahih Bukhari. You make a connection between this hadith and the first hadith. This hadith doesn't talk about nawafil, but you have to put together 1 + 1 = 2. Put these two hadith together, right? This is the result, the end result, of someone who organized his priorities, took care of his mandatory prayers, and then he kept on doing nawafil until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved him. I think that's enough for tonight. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لكل خير. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يرزقنا الجنة, الفردوس الأعلى من الجنة. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى, أن يرزقنا الإخلاص في القول والعمل. And next week, inshallah, we'll start talking about these nawafil, the classification of different nawafil, what is highly recommended, what is not highly recommended. The sunan of Rasulullah SAW, there are some disagreements there. Talk about witr, about duha, about sunnat al-wudu, about tahiyyat al-masjid, and all the different, try to cover all the different volunteer prayers in the next maybe 2 weeks, inshallah. Because some people are confused about what is highly recommended, what is not highly recommended. We'll try to share with you some ahadith about these nawafil, inshallah. And we teach them to our kids and our families, share this knowledge with our friends, community members. If someone else gets this knowledge from you and they act upon it, you get the same reward. Same reward. So don't neglect your family members and your friends and your neighbors. Nas'al Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq al-jami'. And people nowadays are able to share through WhatsApp, through Facebook, through Instagram, or by talking in person to other people. Nas'al Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahu wa hamdik. Shadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. And next week the halaqah will start at 7:30 after Isha immediately, like tonight. But it will be 7:30 for the whole week, for the whole winter, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan.